Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates. You can hear the podcast of Zolak and Bertrand on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com.
Are you stupid or something?
Stupid is what stupid does, sir.
Backs up. There's a flag on the play.
They moved.
With a full start on Miami. Left tackle Laremy Tunsil's had a history of full starts.
He had himself a party on draft day.
Oh, fight. There you go. Lawrence Guy got hit. There you go. Way to go, Miami.
Flag is thrown after the play.
After the play was over, personal foul. Offense number 78. Half the distance to the goal line. It's second down.
Dolphins down 10-0. Go to work at the 7:41 mark here in the second quarter. It's a high step off the hands of Tannehill. Diving for the Patriots.
It.
Kyle Van Noy comes up with it, and then he's tackled inside the 20. Woo. Chuck does snap to Tannehill. Checks it down again to Gesicki, the tight end. 5 seconds to go. The clock is stopped. The Dolphins have a 3rd and 1.
Yeah, getting their check down in here. Hey, clock man's like, what are you doing?
Yes. 66 yards to go to the end zone. You're down 24-0. So you come out and you start the drive with 2 checkdowns, and there's 5 ticks left, and you're going to call timeout to throw another one.
Takes the snap, moves check up, down. And again he checks it down to Drake, who runs across the 45, slips on a cut, and then he falls at the 47.
That'll help your passing percentage. That's good. So he got good 3 for 3 in on that drive.
He's stupid or something.
So all those people that support him and say he's getting better and better, nice job.
Thomas is stupid as a stupid does.
Hour number 2. Zolak and Bertrand, why the Dolphins were stupid. Were they stupid in the most important parts of the game? Like, there was plenty of stupidity there.
You knew they weren't gonna throw and drive the ball prior to the end of the half.
Do you know why you're coming up here
and you're saying we're not good enough to beat this team here in their building. We're the same old Dolphins. So let's let Ryan hit 2 checkdowns, then burn a timeout. Because I don't want to get criticized with taking all my timeouts into the half or my clock management. So we'll attempt to give it the perception that we're trying to be competitive in this game. So we'll call timeout and tell him hit another checkdown. As Tunsil hits his, Larry Tunsil, he liked that shot and there went right over Bogdan.
No, he knew.
He laughed.
He just wasn't going to.
Come on, let's have some fun.
He wasn't going to go all over that story again.
I was like, was that a World War II mask? Did he put the weed sucker
on?
Oh,
yeah, him? Yeah. The gas mask.
The adaptive gas mask pong. With the pong on the end of it.
Yeah, a couple of dumb penalties. But, like, even without those dumb penalties or the bad checkdowns, I'm going to make it look like I actually did something by making sure I use these timeouts. Yeah. They're not winning that game.
No.
Like, they got completely.
No, if they threw the ball downfield, they weren't going to win that game. But it just shows that it magnifies the stupidity of the team and where they're at. I mean, they're going to be competitive probably against bad teams.
They got their ass handed to them yesterday is what happened.
Hey, New England got their ass handed to them last week.
Can I read you something from the Miami side today?
Sure.
This from Armando Salguero, probably the most well-known Dolphins guy, writing for the Miami Herald. He writes today, same old Dolphins, the worst defeat in the Adam Gase era. He writes, it's not about the loss. That's not the terrible part. Oh, yes, the loss stings because that was a huge opportunity that just sailed past the Miami Dolphins, like a center snap through Ryan Tannehill's grasp. Losing this one to the New England Patriots is disappointing, but it's not that. The trouble is the Dolphins didn't compete on Sunday in a 38-7 loss. They didn't show up. That is what's so insulting. Mm. That's what you should worry about. That's what signals whatever everyone thought was fixed with this team in the offseason might not be fixed after all, because that egg the Dolphins just laid looked eerily familiar to ones laid last year and in other years that everyone wants to forget. How about that? Same old Dolphins
Same
is
old
what
Dolphins.
He's saying.
Yeah.
Same old Dolphins coming up here laying an egg.
Chauncey could have wrote that.
He could have.
Yeah. He was tweeting out the tomato can pictures yesterday. Saw that during the game. Nothing's changed. All's right. Everything's good.
Salguero also writes, the problem with that is we've seen this kind of epic blowout loss before in the Gase era. Remember last year's 40-0 loss to Baltimore, or the 45-17 primetime woodshed whipping at the hands of the Carolina Panthers?
Yep.
But this one, he writes, this was worse. This was the worst defeat the Dolphins have suffered in the Adam Gase era. It was horrible, deflating, spirit-crushing, and the reason is this one actually meant something. The stakes in this one were high. Even playoff projections high.
That's
how big of a swing,
problem.
Though.
That's your problem.
But isn't that a swing yesterday? They didn't just come here and lose by a touchdown or a field goal.
It's a reality check.
Like, if they had come up here and played well.
They're like, okay, maybe they're legit.
You'd say, hey, they're 3-1, and the one game they lost was a competitive one at New England.
Playoffs.
Then you can hang your hat on that a little bit and continue to improve. They came here and got their ass whooped by a team that looked horrible last week.
Yep.
That end of the half, Tannehill was 2-for-3 for 22 yards.
Oh, my God.
The rest of the game, take that out, he was 9-for-17 for 78 yards.
They kicked his ass.
Horrible.
They made him look scared.
He made so many bad decisions. They forced him into it. I don't want to take that away from the Patriots.
He's played well.
No. With all the big play receivers we heard about all week long.
Yep.
They've got this Albert guy Wilson. They got this guy Grant. They've got
Danny
Amendola.
Was Kenny Stills active
Clutch
yesterday?
Amendola.
Was Kenny Stills active?
Kenny Stills, another one.
I mean, I've called a lot of games against Daniel. And
Tight ends. They have fast tight ends, right? Remember Belichick said that.
Gesicki, yeah. Oh, that's right. Call a lot of games against Tannehill, and he has beaten you before, and he's beaten you down there.
Yeah.
And statistically, on paper, it looks good. Like, if you fall the quarterbacking position, you hit 65-70%, 3 touchdowns, no picks. That's a damn good day in the National Football League. But then you watch him, and even on games where he does play well, defense does something to help him hang and they get a quick turnover. Mm-hmm. He plays the position scared to me.
Always. Like panicked. He plays it like a panicked guy.
He's played too many games.
I was saying after the game yesterday.
I'm going to say it to Danny, and I talk to Marino all the time about him. I'm like, yep, still looking for the guy to replace you. And he laughs and jokes. And then we move on talking. But I'm like, how do you sit there and watch this?
You think Danny had a bottle of vodka and a nice tray of meats yesterday? Anyway?
No, he's like,
one of those ready for him upstairs?
He's like Glenn Levitt. He goes up like scotch now.
Oh.
He goes, we take his suit. Huh? I heard you. He goes,
is that what
yeah. He goes, I go, what is that? Is that Zenya? He goes, no, dude, Canali now. Canali. I'm like, oh. He goes, yeah, I heard you wrote a book, huh? He goes, people from Pittsburgh, they don't write books. The hell are you doing writing books? I'm like, oh, man, I wish I could tell some of the stories. No, we don't need none of that. Yeah.
Should have been like, yeah, I was just telling the story the other day about you and the meats and the vodka in the back of the equipment trucks.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I watched it again, Marino Football Life, man. It's like, man.
Oh, it's a good one.
Oh, it's so good.
It's a good
I'm just
one.
Glad I got to live it for a year. That's what I told myself. I'm just glad I got to live your experience for a year. Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. Stick together.
Marino.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, here's what I was saying. Why can't they get him to at least be one of these guys that splits the field, right? Like, try and make it easy for him. Try and make it color by number. And
I guess.
Obviously, it's a lot more vanilla when you do that. And you're obviously, it's easier to defend.
See,
but he doesn't do that, so. He panics, and he's looking all over the place.
The contracts.
Like, he doesn't even go through his reads in order.
I don't think, like, he has quarterback brought up in him.
Watch his
I mean?
Head. Like, just watch his head where that thing goes. It's all over the place.
I know you're doing postgame, but did you watch Baker Mayfield yesterday? I watched a lot of that game.
I was watching it while we were doing postgame. So I saw some of it.
He may not see things well. But if this makes sense, if I can't see things well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make something happen. Ryan Tannehill doesn't make anything happen. Like, it's got to be structured and perfectly called and laid out for him. Motion, fake off the read action, plump it in a flat, let the guy run 30 yards.
Right, and it takes him forever
like,
to get the
Mayfield,
ball out. That
Mayfield's
drives me
like,
nuts about
okay,
him.
I don't see it this way, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to slide up. I'm going to try and find somebody backside. You're born with that. Ryan Tannehill's not a born quarterback. And that's going to be problematic for that franchise because you're the spot now. You got to pay the guy. His contract is comparative, almost identical to Andy Dalton's. Like, they're in that 18 to 19 range where you're paying those guys. Ooh. Who would you rather? 10 out of 10 times, I'll take Dalton.
Oh, over Tannehill?
Yeah.
That's not a.
But, I mean, you watch Andy Dalton function. At least he gets it.
He's a quarterback.
He drives the ball. He sees it. You know, they layer things. Tannehill, it's like whack, you know, Western Athletic Conference read option offense.
Why does it take him so long to get rid of the football?
Because he doesn't see it well.
But I'm not talking about his physical motion of when he makes a decision in his mind.
Because it's like, an overstride. It's
how
an
long it takes for him to make the throw.
Right. Because, Garoppolo, compact, tight in here, boom. Mayfield, tight in here, boom. But Mayfield overstrides.
How noticeable was it when Brock Osweiler came into the game?
Oh, like, my God. Do we have any Osweiler post-game, please?
Like,
we don't, because I saw him. He was on the bus.
But even Osweiler, you watch the speed at which the ball comes out of the guy's, hand, and you're like, oh, man, this is so much better than watching Tannehill all day.
Yeah, I can't believe his feet. They're so freaking big.
What'd you call them yesterday?
Ronald
McDonald.
Like, he picks them up. They got their nut like
But you were saying Baker Mayfield's stride.
Yeah, I mean, but Mayfield, for short as he is, he overstrides too. But, like, he's a little guy. He's got to get everything into it, like Drew Brees. They're overstriders. But Brees is, like, more of an over-the-top guy bringing it over. But Tannehill's, everything's methodical and long. You know, he's like a miniature version of Kerry Collins. Kerry Collins was like that, big wind-up guy. Everybody's different in this league, but, man, I wouldn't want to pay him 18, 19. I don't know about you.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. We're going to get to Read and React coming up at 11:36. Coming up next, we'll get to more of your calls, but I also want to get to a story that was reported on during our pregame show yesterday. Burt Breer with some details about how the conversation went between the Patriots and Rams in the offseason leading up to the trade of Brandon Cooks. You want to hear this. Very interesting. It also involved Rob Gronkowski.
Uh-oh.
You'll hear that from Burt coming up next.
Scott Zola, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and online at 98.5thesportshub.com.
So here's, like, this is the way the Cooks trade went down, okay? In February, the Rams called the Patriots about two players. And look, these calls happen all the time. So I don't want to make it sound like, you know, oh, the Patriots are taking calls. Like, everybody calls about everybody. Sometimes a lot of this stuff gets couched as something that it's not. But this is the way it went down. The Rams called the Patriots about Gronk and about Cooks. They got a maybe on Gronk and a no on Cooks in February, right? Then Sammy Watkins gets paid. Then Mike Evans gets paid. Then Allen Robinson gets paid.
Yeah, the receiver market exploded.
And all of a sudden, when the Rams called them back, it went from maybe to no on Gronk, and then from no to yes on Cooks, which tells me this was 100% about you like the player. And look, Josh McDaniels texted Sean McVay on the day of the trade saying, you're going to love this guy. Like, they liked the player.
This Gasper. Here's what he said to summarize it, and we'll play a little bit more of it in a minute. He said, the Rams called the Patriots. They said to the Patriots, how about Gronk or Cooks? Either of those guys available. They said, no on Cooks, maybe on Gronk. That was the end of that. Then they checked back in. Then it was a no on Gronk and a yes on Cooks. That's what happened. They went from no to yes on Cooks after they watched the free agent market explode on receivers.
Nah. That's why. It's the money at the receiver position and what they're all ultimately going to have to pay. Now, I know, and there's a lot of people, wait, you just kept Brandon Cooks for the $8 million. Just let him walk and you've got a compensatory pick. I understand that. That's the business part of it. But was there a point where you were going to want to move one of them and you went to the coordinator and said, which one you want? Maybe he could say, I could live without Brandon Cooks. I can't live without Rob Gronkowski. Maybe that's why he also texted Sean McVay and said, hey, you're going to love this player. I ain't part with the other guy. Even don't come back here to be an assistant coach again. You know, you passed up the head job at the Colts to come back for something.
All right, but if it played out the way that Burt describes it as – it was a no, then they saw the market explode and what these guys get paid, yep. And then it turned into a yes. That means they didn't trade him because they didn't like the player or the talent. That means that they traded the player because they wanted to get something before he walked because they would not re-sign him this coming offseason.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
That's a compensatory pick, yeah.
Let's get the pick and move on.
Yep. And let's not only get the pick, let's upgrade the pick for what we gave up. You went from 32 to 23, right? That's the number, correct? I think the Rams pick was 23.
Great. They also now don't have Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
23 a year later.
Yeah, you lose a player in the process.
Right.
So there's that. There's that first part. And here's more from Burt Breer. They texted them after they traded him away saying, you're going to love this guy?
Yeah. McDaniels texted McVay and said, you're going to love this guy. He didn't miss a practice.
But it was McDaniels that did it.
Yeah.
Okay. So if McDaniels feels that way,
I'm telling you,
that would pretty much echo the way that Brady felt about him.
That's not a leap.
All I'm telling you is a reach.
All I'm telling you is it's very clear that they like the player because the player was unavailable in February before the market exploded, and so there's that piece of it. Then there's the piece of it that like they're telling the Rams, we really like this guy, and now you see what he's doing with the Rams, and it's clear that like okay, this is a really good player. So like. We've seen it in the past where their principles get in the way of putting good players in the field, and that's why this reminds me of the Deion Branch situation.
Money and spending get in the way of keeping a good player. That's what Bert's referring to.
Now, where'd Watkins come? Watkins went from the Rams to KC, right? Can't keep track of it. Yeah, okay, so they lose they lose a guy like Sammy Watkins. They're replacing him with a guy like Brandon Cooks. He already had Robert Woods. And you got Cup. They got a nice mix of guys out there. You got a hell of a back in Gurley.
This just sort of goes back to, for me, so they were willing to trade.
What's their window, though?
Cooks,
because at some point you're going to have to pay Goff.
They traded Cooks. They let Amendola walk. And they were going to be willing to trade Rob Gronkowski. The hell was the offseason plan there? Move on from
sounds
everybody?
Like blow it up.
That sounds like you are blow blowing it up and starting
right.
over.
Yeah.
No. When it was maybe on Gronk, it was no on Cooks. It wasn't both.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in time, right. No, it wasn't. But there are also discussions.
So they were ready to trade Gronk maybe in February and then weren't ready to trade him and then were ready to trade him again.
What was
this has gone back and forth, right? Because it was April that they were the rumor about the Lions came out.
April 3rd.
And this is February that the Rams got a maybe. In April that the Lions had a deal pretty much done.
April 3rd was the date.
But it was that, no somewhere in between.
April 3rd was the date that Brandon Cooks was traded to the Rams. April 3rd. When did the Rob Gronkowski discussions happen? None of it was after April 3rd? That's not true.
No,
the Vroom press conference, what day was that?
No, but I'm saying Gronk. Bert said the Rams got a maybe in February and then a no in early April on Gronk. So the Patriots went from maybe trading him to no to 2 weeks later had a deal done with the Lions.
Right.
That is... The up and down of the Gronk thing is the part of the Burt thing I think that's important.
But the reality is they were still willing to trade Gronkowski after they had traded Cooks. And they had let Amendola walk. So they were willing to have all those things happen. It may not have been all at the same time that they had that thought, but it was something they were willing to do. So that means they were willing to trade Gronk after they knew Amendola was gone.
Right.
And they knew that Cooks was gone. And they were still willing to move on from Gronkowski.
Doesn't it feel like, though, they were maybe willing to move on with him? Then they decided, no, we're keeping this guy. And then things got a little out of hand in April when Gronk was doing
all
that stuff.
And you didn't know that.
It was almost like an F it, we'll just trade him.
Well, people keep forgetting. Like, you didn't know. Like, Edelman was part of these plans, too. Meaning, you know, you're building your offense and you're going to be fine because you got Edelman. And then, bang, the Edelman suspension drops on you.
You don't move on from Cooks, Gronk, and Amendola and say, but we have Edelman who's going to be 33 years old.
No, I'm not saying that.
That's
I'm saying you were fine, to Jim's point, you're fine moving on from one or the other. You know what I mean? You need to build something. You need to have at least a home run hitter.
Yeah, that changed.
Yeah. And then you're thinking, okay, we could get by with James White, Gronkowski, because the quarterback's so good with Edelman, and we'll figure it out with Kenny Britt, Jordan Matthews. We'll bring all these guys in. Dorsett we have from last year. We like him. We'll let him compete. Maybe he could pop. I mean, who knows what could happen after that. So, it's still not, I think, what they envisioned. It's still a work in progress, which is amazing.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly. 617-779-0985. Cam is in Taunt. Cam, go ahead.
How's it going, guys? I just wanted, the biggest development from yesterday's game for me was A, Hightower looked like himself, which, you know, I was starting to worry he was cooked. He looked like, you know, 2015 Mayo out there the first few games. But, Belichick's biggest win of the offseason right now is the Nate Solder-Trent Brown exchange, because Trent Brown, big block on the Michelle touchdown yesterday, and Trent Brown's done, I'm not going to say he's been great, but he's done nothing wrong
at
left tackle, and you're getting him for $2 million versus what Solder getting, 23 from the Giants?
Yeah,
and look, I mean, Solder was the number one priority in the offseason for me, at least. I thought they were done to let him go, but they've done it right again. They've gotten almost all of the production for much less of the cost. So that's Belichick's biggest win. But right now it looks like a terrible offseason right now.
Okay. Trent Brown, pretty good.
Swift out. Pretty good, yeah. He has his moments here and there, but he hasn't missed a snap. You know, we're at the quarter pole. I know it bugs you. We're a quarter of the way through.
We're not at the quarter pole.
It's amazing how many times it gets butchered.
Chris Gasper, the guy with all those huge words in his columns, is now trying to tell me that it's okay to use it because so many people have used it incorrectly that it now has a separate and dual meaning.
Oh.
Which I find so ridiculous. So because a lot of people are stupid and they've used something incorrectly for so long now that it just should be accepted that it's okay to use it
that way? What's the one word that's used all
Gasper
the time?
Gasper called him Merriam-Webster.
What's the word?
They were going back and forth. Gasper was calling him the dictionary, and he was calling Gasper the thesaurus.
What's the word that's misused all the time? Starts with an R, but the era.
Oh,
regardless?
Everybody that you know likes to sound smart and use irregardless, so it's used so often, so let's just make it a word.
No, let's not.
Let's not.
Let's not do that. The quarter pole is when there is a... There is a quarter of a mile left in a horse race. Not a quarter of the race, unless it's a one-mile race.
Right.
A quarter of the race... Quarter mile left.
Quarter pole.
Distance. Quarter mile.
Or the quarter pole.
Of a race.
No, we're not.
Meaning quarter mile remaining. So it does not mean you are one quarter into a season. It does not mean you are one quarter to go from a season.
Huh? Jeez.
Josh from NBC Sports Boston says, what about the word cool? That became a different word in a different context at one point.
When?
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
But when did that be? The meaning of cool is like it's cool. It's cool outside.
Bad example.
Temperature.
Terrible, Josh. Keep trying.
Yeah, that's that. No, no. That's adding different meanings to something as opposed to incorrectly using something.
Right.
Like, oh, it's hot outside, so hey, it's cool today.
Hey, cool breeze.
It's not. It's hot. We have a word for
that. Josh, what are you in the 70s?
It's not. You're using the word incorrectly. Like, no.
It's like Shaughnessy's word, swell. Okay, my thing swell. Never mind. My bruise would swell, but you know what? You're a swell guy. What are we doing here? Let's get out of this.
I don't know what we're doing, but that quarter pole thing is ridiculous. Read and React coming up next.
Thank God.
Zolak and Bertrand are live from Gillette Stadium, sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
It's time to rage.
Did you see Phil running away from the... Excuse me.
Oh, Jesus!
And react.
You don't think you could have beat off that shark?
With Zolak and Bertrand.
Sanitarium!
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's one of my favorite opens.
It is. It really is. I don't know if you saw the news. It didn't happen in the Cape, but there was another attack out in California. I don't think that kid beat that shark off. So, I mean, he got attacked out there.
Hardy, you think you can get through the segment or what?
We'll see.
Okay.
You know what?
Three.
You read everything all week about who ran Ruksha all over Detroit.
React.
No, what, Zoe?
Mr. Funny Man.
What?
So, you know, like in some books, like you get a dictionary or an encyclopedia and like to help explain to the definition, they usually post a picture. So I would say like the word death, if you put a picture of Hardy up today. But you don't look well, pal.
I just said to
coloring,
Tom.
Maybe it's NBC Sports Boston.
No, I just said to Tom, I'm dying, and this is what death feels like.
Beto doesn't look good. I'm worried about him.
Thank you.
Pale.
Okay, here we go. Texans beat the Colts 37-34 in overtime. Indy head coach Frank Reich went for it on fourth down from his own side of the field in overtime. He talked about it after the game.
Yeah, I'll just address it now. I mean, we're not playing to tie. I mean, we're going for that 10 times out of 10. I mean, that's just the way it's got to roll.
Because it's like college, you know? You got to get the win for your bowl points.
Yep.
It's
that guy orchestrated two of the biggest comebacks in college and pro history.
Yep.
So, yeah, this is what my follow-up would be to Frank.
Your defense sucks.
Where's the line for that? Where do you draw your line? You say 10 out of 10, 100% of the time, from that spot on the field or just in general?
Yeah, I'll just address it now. I mean, we're not playing to tie. I mean,
great. So if you're at your own 15-yard line and it's 4th and 4, do you go for it there? What if you're at your own 5-yard line, do you go for it there?
I mean, we're going for that 10 times out of 10.
Where's the line? Because most guys in your spot wouldn't be going for it there.
Ten times out of ten.
We get it, Frank. We get it.
That's how he does it.
Where's the line?
Well, Andrew Luck was happy with the decision. Yeah, he had his coaches back on this one. So we're going to listen to Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. And you know, Frank told us after the... We had a discussion before the play, and I agreed. You know, I had my stamp of approval, and...
I got a problem with Luck.
Yeah, what?
And I like the player.
What do you give? What's your problem?
He's like too happy to be here.
He seems to be happy.
He needs to get pissed off at some point because you know what?
Hey, he's happy to play football.
He's just happy to be playing football, and it's a problem when your quarterback has this like happy-go-lucky attitude. Right. I'm just happy to be here.
Beetle with the take of the day.
The guy doesn't get pissed about anything, and it's becoming a problem there.
Sneaky
because
take.
After every game, we listen to Andrew Luck, and it's like, oh, yeah, it's all good. I love that. Like, guy, get pissed about something at some point, would you? You're the leader of your football team, whether you like it or not.
Sometimes you got to stop it.
At some point, get tired of the losing. Okay? At some point, get tired of just being happy to be there and be playing.
What went on
You're
up in the
quarterback? Start acting like it.
I wonder what went on in the owner's booth when that was made. Like, hey, Quentin, man, you going to block it or what? What are we doing going for fourth down?
You
going
to go for it, man?
We did not execute well enough. I did not give Chester enough of a chance to make
Chester?
The play.
Who, your dog?
And I'm sick to my stomach.
Kid Chester.
About it, you know?
Jesus.
With all the comedy, the flurry of errors that we overcame, you know.
Bring him to me.
Sharp enough.
That's a problem.
Bring him to me.
Wait, hold on.
Weren't sharp enough.
I got him playing New England. His record against New England's really, really good. I can't wait to see him Thursday night. They're going to feast on the Colts.
Andrew, you guys lost again.
Whether it's comedy or...
God bless him.
By the way, Colts will probably be without T.Y. Hilton on Thursday night. So
yes.
Andrew Luck's going to have one fewer guy to throw to.
Three.
Little John's playing halftime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who's Little John?
React.
Bob.
Seahawks beat the Cardinals 2017. All-pro safety Earl Thomas left the game with a broken leg. It was nasty. Made a gesture toward the Seattle sideline.
You sure?
As he's being carted off. Pete Carroll after the game. Am I sure about what?
Pete. I mean, you sure he was flipping Pete off in the sideline? Yeah. You sure about that?
Did you see and sure you've heard his gesture to the sidelines?
I don't know. Somebody said something. I don't know anything about that. I don't know. It's a big stadium. You know, could be. I don't know where it was aimed at. Earl was extraordinarily poised on the field for what just occurred to be so clear and so... you know, resolved to what he knew what happened, and but he was so poised and you know, and given back to the players and all of us, and so I don't know what happened after that.
Can you realize this is exactly what you fear going out?
That's why it's so bittersweet. Yeah, and we've just turned things around, and everything was going in a really positive direction, and all of that. So it breaks my heart that we're talking about this right now.
God.
Okay. Oh, and there's no doubt about it. He absolutely gave the middle finger to his sideline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it was just somebody on that sideline, not affiliated with the team, guy holding one of the parabolic mics, I never liked that dude. Here, this is for you.
No, it was not to people in the stands.
You weren't some oven mitt that stops the clock?
It was to his sideline. That's who it was to.
Yes.
Three.
You sort of took the reins off.
No, please go ahead.
Sure. I have already had a couple. I feel like I should defer.
No. I want to let you know. I learned from your
etiquette right here.
No.
This is rare.
React.
Can't. Titans.
Okay, real quick.
Yeah.
I was doing Channel 4 yesterday in pregame, and I'm down at Reese, and an associate comes walking by. I'm like, what's the odds? Me getting in the middle and taking two pictures of my little buddies. They declined. Declined. I'm like, oh, I thought you deferred. No, very nice. Very nice partake of your picture. Would you like to partake of your picture? Would you stand them?
Those nice guys, they stick together.
They do.
Angry elf.
Titans beat the Eagles 26-23 in overtime. We heard from Taylor Lewin on Friday explaining for the boys. He was trying to explain it.
Saturday.
Well, no.
Saturday's for the boys?
No, the whole team is just for the boys. It's just with the wins, the practices, everything is for the boys. Yes. is they're not so clever repurposing of a bar stool phrase. No, this is our own for the boys.
What's the name of that song by? What's her name? Denise what? Let's hear it for the boy?
Yeah, from the Footloose soundtrack.
Another good one.
Anyway, here he is after the win over Philly with a message for those who doubt his team.
It's ridiculous that people don't give the Titans enough credit. Obviously, we've been up and down on wins. The last two seasons, we've had winning seasons with a big playoff win. You got to start giving the boys more credit, man. Like, there's 32 teams. There's not 31. So, I mean, you got to start respecting Nashville a little bit.
I'm going to have fun with him that week.
That is horrible.
I'm looking forward to that.
Start getting the boys more. It's a boys. That's what we call ourselves. We're here, the boys. That's everything is for the boys.
For the boys. It's like when Phil Perry danced.
Of course you can get a Titans for the boys shirt at Barstool for $25.
Of course you can.
Chris in the truck has a pickle juice call for us. Chris.
React.
Finally. Ravens beat the Steelers 26-14 Sunday Night Football. After the game, Ben Roethlisberger took accountability, not just for his performance, but for the team.
You know, I don't think I'm on the same page as anybody right now because I'm not playing well enough. I need to play better. Today was just a bad day at the office. We've all had them. I had one today, and I promise I'll be back to play better.
Ben, what's your biggest concern right now?
That I didn't play well enough today to win the football game, and that I let the guys down.
Good answer.
It was a good answer, and he is kind of right.
Team's spinning.
Do you see his passes in the second half? Which is
you know what too? Some of his receivers make the American League, you know, play the catch of the year for him pretty much every other series. Like the Brown touch, there were so many good catches in that game. Like you don't see that a lot. Like they help him. They help him a ton.
Do you think this is going to be the final year of Ben Roethlisberger? Because I watched that game last night, and I'm like, he's not going to do this again next year. He's going to retire. He keeps threatening retirement. I feel like we could be watching the end of Big Ben.
Wouldn't that be something? He retired before Brady.
Well, different type of quarterback.
Yeah.
He's a much bigger guy.
Yeah.
He took a lot of hits early in his career.
You don't have the threat of the run right now. Bell sitting there laughing at home.
I like the subtle shot at Bell there. I'm going to be back at the office, and I'm not going to let my teammates down.
Oh, that's a good point. Like he's he's saying, get your ass in here. I need help.
Very subtle.
Breathe. React.
It's like a bad porn movie.
And that's it for Read and React.
All right, thank you, Marty.
Cut the whip out.
Oh.
Ooh. Oh. Like a Bruce Mars song.
617-779-0985. We will hear what happened in the Patriots locker room after the win yesterday, right after this. Don't go anywhere.
From Gillette Stadium, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Pirates on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand. Want to get to a tweet that Armando Salguero just had a few minutes ago.
Covers the Dolphins.
Conference call. Yeah, we read from his story this morning in the Miami Herald. He said this. Adam Gase says on his conference call this morning with the Miami media, Danny Amendola and Jakeem Grant were open the entire game. Both combined for only four targets, so somebody screwed up.
Who throws the ball to this?
Somebody. Is that his way of ripping his quarterback without saying his name?
Yep.
Somebody,
I told you he was awful yesterday.
The somebody would be Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill stinks, man. I don't know any other way to cut it.
Did you feel those guys were open?
I didn't feel they were open, no. I thought there was good coverage. But, I mean, open to you and me is different than, okay, if you have half a step on somebody, a coach will think that guy's open. You got a chance to get him the ball. Tells me he's scared to throw the ball, even if maybe I should throw it to this guy. To me, that guy's got to be open by 3 yards for him.
Yeah,
to throw
I was going to say, you know what I mean? He's one of those guys that needs
like, what's
a guy to be open.
Open, right.
Open.
Adam Gase is one of the better quarterback coaches in the league.
Brady will tell you to.
Yeah, totally.
To, you know, okay, this guy's got a defender 1 yard behind him, but I know he's going to be at this spot, and I'm going to throw it to the spot, and he's going to get there. And
right.
He can throw it into tight windows. Ryan Tannehill can't do that.
No.
So that's why a coach looks at it and says, these guys are open. You could, right. You know, you can throw a guy open too, right?
Yeah.
Which Patriots do all the time.
Right. Right.
That's like, you know, old. That's like West Coast offense,
right.
Man.
Yep.
That's you're going to throw the spot where the guy's going to go get it.
Was James White open when Brady was getting hit on the touchdown that he threw to James
in
White?
Fact,
he wasn't open yet.
He wasn't open yet.
But you got to put the ball in a spot where you think a guy's going to eventually get to.
Did you hear Brady after you were there? You heard Brady the game talking about that play, right?
Yeah.
He didn't know where White was and didn't know if he was going to be open. And he said, but I knew I was running out of time.
I'd throw it.
And I threw it to the spot.
Yep.
And he was there. That sort of validates his comments after the Detroit game about we need more James White. You need the guys in the game who can make plays because there is a certain trust level that is earned. James White has earned that trust with Brady and his team that he's going to be there. He's going to make the play, and he did. Mm-hmm. Resulted in a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, he did. And, I mean, nobody's talking, too, about the hit Brady took on his final snap, that interception. Awful interception, by the way. But, I mean, he got croaked.
How aggravated do you think Amendola is with having that guy as his quarterback? There's no way he goes home at night happy about that.
Well, I think you get into your drop top, your convertible.
He's having fun.
He
told Zoe yesterday that he misses it here.
He said, I miss the people here.
Well, yeah.
I miss the people here. Love you guys. Love the people that cover the team, teammates, everything. Love everything about it. But at some point, you know, it goes past you when you're on 595 heading east and you're hitting Lauderdale Beach. We're going to hit A1A. You want to go to Elbow Room or, shoot, you want to scoot down to South Beach? You want to go shopping down to Bahamar or whatever? I mean, it's so nice down there. And
yeah,
cars
but,
never
I mean,
dirty.
Listen, so.
You're making – he took two pay cuts here to play. And then his salary got tripled. And guaranteed, he got $6 million guaranteed. I mean
– do you know what I believe about that player?
That made him leave.
You say, would you pay him six? No. I don't think they would have had to pay him six.
They probably had to pay him four.
What if they paid him $4.5 million? What if it was like 2 years, $9 million? Would he have stayed? With still six guaranteed, by the way. So two-thirds of it guaranteed money.
Probably.
He would have stayed.
Yeah.
He would have stayed.
Yeah.
You could have gotten him for less.
See, but, I mean, we do this all the time with these guys that you didn't get ahead of it in time, you know?
They didn't want him.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want him. They wouldn't have wanted him even at that $4.5 million.
They knew it.
They didn't want him
at
that
money. They couldn't rely on him during a regular season. They know he's a money player. He's biggest in the biggest games, and that says a lot about the player. I love the player, but, yeah, you can't do it 16 games. And they knew they had to retool this wide receiver position.
Let's grab some of the calls. Fred, where are you calling from today?
Fred.
Deary? Where's this?
Calling from Gary, D-E-R-Y.
Oh, like Derry, New Hampshire. Look at how this is spelled on the call screen.
Yeah, Deary.
D-E-A-R-I-E.
Deary. I get
Deary. Calling from Deary, New Hampshire. Hi, Fred. Go ahead.
That's it. Hey, first off, let's give Hardy some tea.
Tea?
Why don't you get Hardy some tea or something? I mean, you know,
Hardy, would you rather have tea or would you rather have a gun?
Yeah, tea will fix me. Thank you.
There's a house stain, but anyhow, hey, yesterday I was at the Dairy Fair and Deerfield Fair. And I had my Walkman on. I'm listening to the call.
Kind of
and I've been listening to you guys.
Sony Walkman from 1978. What kind?
It's back there. It's an old time thing. It doesn't die. And been listening to you know,
like foam headphones.
I actually had an earplug in. I was like going even more retro.
Oh, that's sweet.
But,
so. What were you listening to?
The game, right?
Listen to the call, and so anyhow, it's kind of a fanboy call here, I guess. But anyhow, it got to be 31-0. I heard Zoe say, yep, fire up the buses. And I got to go up to overweight, other fellow overweight folks wearing number 12 shirts and telling them that. And it was like, nice. I was able to spread joy to a lot of, you know, people walking through hell with kids, you know. So.
Oh, at the fair. So you're talking about you're at the fair, and my indicator of starting the buses meant the game was over. And it was a proud moment for you to be able to communicate with other people have a Walkman on.
Yeah, what are you saying is
retro earpieces.
When you walk around a fair like that, the only way to find out the score of a football game is to listen to the call. There's no other means of communication available to people.
You see, you know what? You're being rude now.
Being a dick.
Being rude. Being rude.
You want to take a shot at Hardy?
Fred, you want to take a shot at Hardy now?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, just saying, you know, maybe he needs to rest his voice a little.
All right.
Good job.
Fred, you have a great day, Fred. Thanks for
listening. That's Fred's way of telling Hardy sounds like crap today.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
A little more lawn.
It was a little rude. Hardy's not feeling well, so he's irritable.
That doesn't mean, hey, be rude, people.
He's irritable.
Stay home.
Rick is in Haverhill. Rick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, what's up? I just want to give a shout-out to Zoe very quickly before I get to... I want to talk about James Devlin. I was one of the legion of fans of Zolak the Magnificent 92. I was one of the fans that went down to the Hoosier Dome to see you beat the Colts.
Thank you.
And that was a great memory, man. You were like one of the only beacons of hope that year.
You saw him take bow. You saw him take that bow.
Shooting the air.
Yeah, take that bow to your dad with the Argyle sweater and the soul, big old cell phone.
Oh, wow.
Man.
You remember that.
Oh, man. He was there, wasn't he?
Absolutely. That was...
How about that?
Is he doing well, man? Or
he's down in Florida watching the show right now. That'll make his
day. Nice, nice, man.
You remember that he wore a shout out. You
know the show you were talking about, James Devlin, and unlike the guy that's going to host the show at 2 o'clock, who likes no running backs. I appreciate your point of James Devlin. You were there on the field in the '90s. I'm not going to compare Devlin to Kevin Turner because he had hands, but with your bird's eye view, I just want to ask: do you think he's, in my point of view on the TV, he looks every bit as good as Sam Gash was in his prime. I just want to ask your opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Gash is a tough kid. Kevin Turner was more of a pass-catching fullback. Kevin was sort of a hybrid, man. I tell a story all the time, the Seau meet. I know they got the Junior Seau football life, and people have been pumping this and that. We used to sit in meetings and laugh when we called him Pile Jumper. Because he would jump on a pile and get credit for a tackle, but never make the tackle. And he was going to like 18 straight Pro Bowls. And Kevin Turner and Sam Gash made his head snap back every time they hit him. He was afraid of Kevin Turner and Sam Gash. And Ray Parker would sit there, boom, 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 watch his head, boom, boom. We'd sit there in meetings and just laugh.
I didn't say, Sam Gash is a better runner.
Sad you're laughing because Kevin Turner developed ALS and passed away, 2 years ago. And we all know what happened with Seau. Sam was stiff, but Devlin isn't as stiff as he looks, if that makes sense for a big guy. You look at Devlin. I mean,
no, he's made some catches where
he looks like a Lego
player.
Well,
it's got the neck roll thing going.
But it looks like Lego. Like, even I see him in a parking lot, hey, and he turns, and like the whole body turns. It's like Tom. Tom doesn't have a neck, T-bone.
Mm-hmm.
And but Devlin could catch. I thought he dominated yesterday.
Hey, go cut your lawn, pal.
Okay. Good job, Tom. Nice comeback. Real creative.
All right there, Sarge. All right.
Nice face.
We will hear.
Imagine those two doing a show, Sarge and T-Bone.
Oh, electric.
Hey, could you pod T-Bone up Watercan? Over here. And Sarge would be like, let's thank everybody for the day today. Thank the station for being on air.
Patriots locker room sound. Robert Kraft's 300th win as owner of the Patriots. Wow. That's on the way after these headlines. No commercials.